Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, Working Hard, Chapter 1, The Myth and the Basics, Part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, what are some ways I can get more work done? Do I have to work longer hours to get ahead? And how do highly productive professionals get so much done?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Before we get to it, managers, you can give better feedback with our Effective Feedback Examples product available as part of the Manager Tools license. Become a Manager Tools licensee today. Check us out online at manager-tools.com. Now on to the show.
Working hard does not mean working longer hours. Full stop.
Exactly. And that's a huge, huge myth that many managers or maybe even non-managers, professionals generally tend to have. And it's a sad state of affairs in our professional lives that the definition of hard work has been simplified to something as trivial as working longer hours. But it completely has, and it's ridiculous. But as often happens in organizational life, it is easier to accept the common wisdom that hard work is long hours because it appears wrongly that that's what it takes to get ahead. And that's the thing, right? We see the people above us, other parts of the organization, those really, really successful people, and we know that they're spending far more hours than we most likely are, which leads you to kind of two different places. One, if I want to be that good, I definitely have to work that kind of hours. But also, if I want to keep that job, if I want to stay at that level, that's what that level looks like, working longer hours. And it's a really lazy interpretation of what it takes to actually truly be successful. It flies in the face of the true definition of working hard, which is, again, the hard work of choosing your priorities and then the hard work of disciplining yourself to actually stick to the priorities for your role.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to look around and see that the way everybody else is doing it is the right way. Frankly, so much of the content and guidance that we give is really the difference, you know, between one and zero. It's the land of the blind, the one-eyed man. And it's like, well, you don't have to have two eyes. You just have to have one. And I would suggest those people running around working so many, many hours, honestly, a lot of them have no eyes. They're blind. They don't understand that.
That's exactly it. They just don't understand.
Yeah, they don't understand that the perception of working hard isn't the same thing as actually working hard. And the truth of it is, what they're doing is the extra hours that they're spending are not all value add. And then you have to ask yourself, is it worth it to work as many hours as that person if not all of it is value add? Of course, the answer is no. You're taking away from your time with your family. You're taking away from time when you could be recovering, essentially. Recovering is an overly strong word. The time when you could be, you know, at home, relaxing.
Getting a massage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. You could. You could spend your Saturday getting a massage instead, for sure. And look, y'all, your senior leadership, we promise you, does not expect you to work long hours past a reasonable work day all the time. Now, okay, there's some industries where that's a little bit more likely. Lawyers come to mind, Wall Street comes to mind. In general, though, most senior leadership does not expect you to do this all the time. Yes, it will be required at times in crisis. And senior leadership also assumes that those longer hours, even sometimes all-nighters or working at the weekend, will be balanced by many normal working hour days and vacation and compensatory time, et cetera, time off, you know, Friday afternoons where there's not a ton of people in the office, that kind of thing. And okay, as an aside, compensatory time really shouldn't, I mean, it never really seems to be mentioned in conjunction with long hours. And it's not, in our experience, because organizations and bosses don't allow for it. Rather, it's this continuation of a mistaken belief of too many of us that hard work means more hours. And so people don't take their vacation time for fear of being seen as soft or not working hard because they're not in the office 100% of the time. And we got to tell you, we don't want you to believe, because it's not true, that you are earning bonus points by not taking your vacation or PTO. You're not. When you are not taking your vacation, not taking your PTO, you're burning yourself out. And we know, everybody knows it.
That's exactly it. I find that those organizations, Manager Tools is one of them, that has an unlimited vacation policy, sometimes get faulted for it because people hear it and think that it somehow isn't true. It's designed to decrease the likelihood that they will take vacation, which I got to tell you isn't true. If all of your work's done and the right work is done and you're there when you're needed and we are happy for you to take as much vacation as you could ever want to take, as long as all the work's done. And that's kind of the tricky piece about it is, if you don't know what the right work is, if you're not working on the priority work first, if you seem like you feel really, really busy a lot of the time, and then you're wanting to take additional vacation because not the right work was getting done, then it's this tricky part, right? So it kind of also comes back to the organization in a way. If people don't understand their priorities, which, let me be clear, a lot of organizations aren't very good communicating your priorities. If people don't understand their priorities, then they want to take vacation and the organization pushes back. They get the wrong message. The message being you shouldn't take vacation. When really what's actually true is you weren't working on the right things and the priority things aren't achieved.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I had a conversation recently with someone who's really young in their career, and they mentioned something about vacation. And I realized that their perception of it really stems from like waiting tables in college. This person is just entering the workforce, right? So the idea like that you work in an understaffed place where if you can't be there, that's a really big deal and they're understaffed. That's not how it is in the corporate world.
No, most of us don't have the same restrictions, success factors around our role as a serving position.
Exactly. And so that idea of, well, if I'm not there, somebody else can't do it. Or, you know, if I'm not there, somebody else has to do it. And that cuts into such and such. It's something I think, though, that really gets stuck in people's minds is this emotional response. Because I even said to somebody recently, I said, totally different person, but they were talking about a new job that they were about to take. And they said, do you think it's going to be a problem that I already have this vacation planned for my sister's wedding? And I said, absolutely not. Any like corporate position, reasonable organization is going to say, oh, of course you have a trip to your sister's wedding planned.
Like, how long are they going? A month?
No, it's like, it was like a Friday and a Monday they were taking off. It wasn't even, it was 2 days. And again, some of this stems from previous jobs.
Yeah, you need to backfill the position. And
You first start out, I think people really get this idea in their heads. And then some people just never get over it. And some people become, those people become some people's bosses. And so then your boss acts like, ooh, you probably shouldn't do that. I even now have a director too, and they'll say, can I? I'm like, please don't ask me. Just tell me your plan. Because these people have taken vacation before and gotten all their work done, and that's proof that it can be done. So unless there's a reason that you know you should be at your desk, and by the way, you should make that choice, then go.
Yeah, then go. Exactly. And Kate and I were talking about all these indicators telling you that senior leadership doesn't expect you to be at your desk. And I can absolutely understand it if you're thinking to yourself, but wait a minute, I'm not sure this is entirely correct. I think they're probably wrong because our senior leadership seems to be working long hours. And that's not untrue, folks. Yes, they probably do. And they are generously paid to work longer hours. But ask them, and they're going to tell you that they're working longer hours than they did ever before.
Mm-hmm. But what they're not doing is trying to set an example for you in your role if your role is not equal to theirs. If your peers are doing this, okay, time to reassess. Some of the people who you're looking at, those people in senior leadership above you, some of them did work longer hours when they were at your level. And many also did not.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not in the same position as them, there is no reason for you to be making the assumption that you have to be working the same number of hours of them as them. Also, because a lot of them haven't learned this lesson and therefore do work longer hours than they even need to. There are far more senior leaders who walk through the offices at dinner time and tell people to go home than there are who check to see who is working the same long hours that they put in.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly it. Now, let's recur to our earlier scenario, I think the one that Kate, you queued up earlier, of coming to work with these two or three or five tasks that you need to accomplish only to fail to do so. What many of us do is tell ourselves that we're going to get those things done when everyone else goes home. We intend to honor our priorities. Oh, yes, we do. Even after we abandoned them. It doesn't work. And those, probably most of you, who've tried it, know it doesn't work.
Right. You get back to your desk. You're going to get to those earlier items. But now you're tired. You're physically tired. You're mentally tired. Again, you've depleted throughout the day your ego strength. Okay, that's a silly phrase for that, but it...
Yeah, it's a weird way of saying it, but...
Yeah, it's a...
Ability to make decisions.
Yeah, that's technically the terminology. It's not a great thing. But for those of you who don't know, ego strength is your ability to think clearly and be resilient to stress. The thing is that every decision you make during the day, especially if you're frenetic and there's a lot of little decisions, those all deplete your ego strength. It causes decision fatigue. Now, at the end of the day, when you've done a lot of stuff and you've decided all kinds of things, like what to wear, even that, which is why, by the way, a lot of senior people talk about having a uniform because they say, oh, it helps me to have fewer decisions. And okay, that's great. I like it because it isn't a decision, not because it helps me do better at other ones. I just like for everything to be the same. But okay, now it's the end of the day. So the weakest version of your brain is working on your most important stuff. How does that play out? Look, you're going to get some stuff done, maybe, and your decisions will be less effective and sloppier.
Yep.
And mushier, frankly, because you're tired. Your brain is tired. It's a true thing. This is why people meal prep.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, going back to your analogy about getting dressed, ask yourself, and not you, like you and everybody else that's listening to this. Ask yourself, how many times when you get up and get dressed for the day, in the morning, first thing, do you second guess your outfit choices? Now, think about when you're getting dressed in the evening. How many times you second guess your outfit choices?
Dude, I think you overestimate other people's decisiveness.
Really?
A little bit, because I think you are pretty decisive about what you wear to work and you have like your stuff. Whereas other people get up every day and look at their closet and think like, I could look cool today. I could look cute today. I could do this today. I could have like an outfit.
Okay. Yeah. I think you're right.
You and I aren't outfit people, but you're saying even then they don't change as many times in the morning as they do at night.
Yeah. Like if you were to go to dinner at night versus getting dressed in the morning.
Yeah.
How many times do you second guess your outfit choices in the morning when you're getting dressed versus in the evening when you're getting dressed? And I'll bet if you're indecisive, I think to your point, in the morning, you're even more indecisive.
Than in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying on more outfits because you just have less ability to make the decisions. And that's a simple, simple example of the use of ego strength.
Yeah. It works. It's also the same thing as the dinner thing. Like when you come downstairs and you don't know what you want, you can't think of what to have for dinner because even that decision is hard when all day long you've been using your brain. Look, I've just given you permission to order. Just order the foods.
Yeah, Uber Eats. That's why it's there, folks. Little small plug for Uber Eats.
They don't need us.
I know they don't need us. They're going to be fine.
You're welcome, Uber Eats.
You're welcome. We'll give you the address later.
You can send it to us.
The last thing about this topic before we move on to our basics that Kate mentioned we're going to go to today. A simple reminder, family first. Leaving what's important to you for when everyone else has gone home and secretly wishing you could too go home is a lazy way to conduct yourself. We can console ourselves all we want with the belief that working longer hours is working harder, but we know it doesn't work. And worse yet, it steals time from the priority. And the priority that ought to be spent time with at this point in the day is your family. They are more important than all of these tasks, and so we should spend more time with them instead of trying to focus on these 2, 3, 5 priority things that we never got to all day and stealing time from our families to do it.
Yeah, we really want you to spend time with your families. We really don't want you to be trapped at work because you didn't get the important stuff done. So how to do this? First basic, priorities only first. So what can you change in your behavior so that you work harder, but not longer hours? First thing, we can do the hard work on deciding what our priorities will be. And then similarly, hard work of disciplining ourselves to accomplish them. Do not get sidetracked with a lazy stroll through email. We'll have more to say on email in a future chapter of this guidance, though all of the guidance that we currently have on email is powerful enough if you follow it. So you can start there.
Exactly. Okay. The most powerful behavioral change we can all engage in to make this happen is learn to say no. Just say no to requests for help or communications, personal or professional, that are not related to your 2 or 3 or 5 priorities, which you've decided to focus on. What we mean by no is not never. What you're saying is no, like not right now.
Yes.
Believe me. Executive leaders do this 20 to 50 times a day. They're constantly being shanghaied for a brief conversation that isn't what their priority is right at the time. People stopping you in the hallway, sending you a Slack or an instant message. Hey, can you do this real quick thing for me just before the day gets going? Getting better at saying no will help prevent you getting drug into some random off-topic non-priority issue that someone else has now tried to distract you with.
And people are going to think to themselves, oh my gosh, I can't possibly do that. Okay, here's the deal. You're already doing this all day long, every day. When you're in a meeting, you're essentially saying no to everyone who could come up to you with a request because you're in this meeting and they can't do it because they don't know where you are, or they can't come up to you in the meeting, or they can't find you. Your schedule is saying no. And you can add to the saying no behavior by putting your priorities on your calendar. Block out times on your calendar with a focus on a particular topic and do this throughout the week. No, you can't fill up your calendar all day, every day with tasks, but you can insist on making sure that there is time in your calendar for each of the big things and that they are done in the morning, first thing, and that you then therefore have made time. You know how much of your time each week is going to be dedicated to those things. And I will say this, I try to put those in big chunks, like hour and a half, 2 hour chunks. And sometimes things come up, those chunks need to be broken up. And so it ends up being an hour and a half in the morning and then an hour and a half in the afternoon. But if you look at my calendar, you can see every week that there are a large number of hours dedicated to things that are the most important things we're working on right now that are not meetings or email or all the other things that people let get in the way of what they should be doing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Actually, Kate, this is completely, not completely off topic, a little bit off topic, but also kind of on topic. I was working with a client this past week at Denison University. And one of the things that I think, based upon some of my conversations, that managers specifically struggle with in this vein, this putting important work on their calendar, is this theory that they are the only working manager.
Yeah.
Folks, we have a podcast called The Myth of the Working Manager. At a very high level, the myth being you're the only one. All the managers have their own priorities. We have our own projects to work on. We have our own tasks that need done. We have our own reporting. We have our own deep brain work. We all have other things to do that aren't 100% of our time devoted to leading others. So if you think that this is not acceptable to put these other large priorities on your calendar, because what if your boss or your boss's boss sees these other things and they're not time spent leading people? I assure you, they know you do other things. Everyone knows you do other things that are not leading people. So putting those things in your calendar, and to Kate's point, getting flexible about it, right? Moving them around, Calendar Soup, also a really good podcast, chopping them up because I can't afford 90 minutes here, but I can do 30 and then 60 later. All of those kinds of things are the things that need to be done in order for you to get the job done.
Besides one-on-ones, which all you see on my calendar is like Kate and Cassie's one-on-one, right? Besides that, what would you put on your calendar that says I'm managing people at this time? I don't even know what that would look like.
I don't even know.
Also, this might sound like a negative thing to do, we're not suggesting that it's rude. We're suggesting you can be polite about it.
Oh yeah, don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah, you can explain, hey, I've got some priorities. You can't talk right now. And look, you can even do this with your boss. Yes, you can. Don't freak. People are like, no, I can't. Yes, you can. You can say, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm working on X and I'll get back with you. So you explain and you commit to following up. When no, or you're declining to help really means not now, you should remember to seek those people out later and offer to help after you've accomplished your priorities. One of my favorite things about this, though, is once you find them, you'll discover a lot, especially with your directs, I find that their request has become OBE, overcome by events. Like they've solved it themselves, which is one of my favorite games because then you have less decisions to make in the daytime. And look, okay, earlier they really needed someone. You weren't available when they came to you and you were disciplining yourself. Good job. And they found somebody else to help them, or they figured it out, or they made a decision, which is teaching them the most important behavior of executives. Mm-hmm. So good job training them for their future.
So all that to say, when you have free time in the morning, don't fritter it away. Get back to your key tasks between your meetings and attack them again. We have guidance on this, Horstman's noon rule of scheduling. Mornings are incredibly important in your fight against distractions. Stop telling yourself you'll get to your key stuff by the end of the day when you're tired and have no ability to make good decisions anymore. Do those important things before noon. Fight to get to them before noon. You will not only also get more done in the afternoon, you won't be wasting precious seconds throughout your entire day by thinking about something that you have to do and yet also not doing it. Pardon my interruption, folks, but are you feeling as though there are a lot of moving pieces changing quickly and it's hard to be prepared, let alone respond correctly? Knowing that your managers are focused on relationships with their directs, consistent communication, and professional growth can only bode well for your team no matter what situation your organization is in. Don't wait for things to get away from you. It's easy to have manager tools come directly to you, to your place of business, or virtually, to train your managers on the basics and arm them with sustainability tools to meet almost all workplace challenges. Learn more by contacting Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. Now, back to the show.
Basic number two, which I alluded to, making decisions quickly. Y'all, the executives in your organization make decisions quite quickly. Their decisions are often more complex, and so it may take them longer than some of your decisions, but they still make them relatively quickly based on comparative complexity. They've really learned, and we should all learn, that their ultimate resource is not money, it is time. They have also learned that they will never have all the possible information available to make a decision. Y'all, they even learned that they never will even have all the information that they want in order to make this decision. And hey, they still make them.
That's exactly it. You won't ever have all of the information, and your organization will be turned into gridlock if you simply stop all activity in order to ensure you have all of the information. And folks, if you are a manager, an executive, you should know by now that you're good at making decisions. Trust yourself. Just do it. You've got two ways to go. Just pick one. Peter Drucker talked about this constantly. Executives know they're flawed and they're gonna be wrong. But fearing being wrong is not a legitimate reason to not choose a decision. Drucker suggests you periodically review your decisions, learn what separated the right ones from the wrong ones, and become better at making decisions by keeping track of your record in making decisions. Just pay attention, your rights versus wrongs.
Yeah. And when we combine with this, the idea of working hard, and you think you're a person who's always thought that working hard meant long hours, you got to remind yourself that the high percentage of high D's at the top of your organization means there's a lot of people up there who make quick decisions. Believe it or not, making decisions quickly, eliminating the delay in implementing something you haven't decided upon, means you get feedback about your decision more quickly and can adjust it more quickly. In simple ways, as I relearned again recently, even if you just decide where you think you want to go and you talk about it, you can then gather other people's insight into your planned course of action, which is a form of gathering feedback about your decision and might cause you to change your mind. And then if you've only talked to one person, you might be able to change course already. So there's definitely value in quickly knowing your own thoughts. We can't be right all the time. I mean, you can't. And you are in this position for a reason. You're the person who, you're probably the only person who can make this decision in many, many cases based on what you're like, the context of the things that you're deciding upon. So, you know, you're not going to be perfect. Okay. Well, then let's not waste any time. Let's not compound the problem of imperfection, which we all are, by also creating just drag in the time equation. As anyone with a significant level of experience will tell you, an average decision implemented quickly and vigorously is far superior to a perfect decision that comes too late or is so believed to be perfectly correct that it cannot be changed based on the response of the implementation, which is a perfect example of first to market. You don't always have to have the perfect product as long as you're the first person who brings it to the market.
I think that's the part that we're missing maybe from the decision theory part, if you will. Yeah, we want you to make decisions quickly. And the reason we want you to make decisions quickly is the sooner the decision is made, the sooner you can execute on the actions. And really, that's the idea behind making decisions more quickly. It's not because having a quicker decision made adds any value inherently unto itself. Rather, making a decision quickly allows you to take action more quickly. And by taking action more quickly, it allows for you to, again, going back to the topic of our cast today, get more done. because you're working on the priority things. And if you make a quick decision about a priority thing, it allows you to take action on a priority thing. And the right things are getting done at top speed versus there being all this other work that comes up and distracts you and takes your attention away and prevents you working on those priorities. All right. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed our cast. Know that you don't have to work longer hours to work harder. Working hard is about the quality of your work and your accomplishments. The hard in hard work is about the challenge of having the right priorities and the hard discipline of staying focused on them and saying no to non-priority items.
You'll go home earlier too.
Yeah, you'll get home earlier, which is also kind of nice.
We like it. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. Join us again next week as we cover a brand new topic.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everyone.